Just for a place to begin this morning, I want to read a few verses out of 2 Timothy. Timothy, as we see here in this chapter, the Apostle Paul speaks to him in a very tender and kind and loving manner. This is the second letter that Paul has written to Timothy. And to be a Christian during that time was a very big thing. I mean, as far as as the Apostle Paul says in several places, that he persecuted all of those that called upon God. In this chapter, I want to just read a couple of verses out of the first chapter of 2 Peter. Then we'll get some over in the second chapter, then move over to the book of Romans and maybe some in Galatians. Notice it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And he's not talking about natural life. He's talking about eternal life, the promise of eternal life. He says this to the little epistle of Titus. He said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. We sang the song, Standing on the Promises. We need to stand upon the promise, the firm foundation that we have. And it says, to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. That's our hope. In hope of eternal life, which God that can't lie promised before the world began. So the promise is that we're going to one day, not only now, have eternal life in our souls, in our hearts. We have Jesus abiding in our very being, if we could even grab a hold of that beautiful principle, that we have eternal life now. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to get eternal life. We have it now. We have eternal life abiding in us. But we are living in time looking. You know, the apostle says, this world is not our home. We're strangers and pilgrims here. And our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship, we have our names. You know, when you have to register as a citizen or whatever, sometimes you go and register to vote and all that, your name is on the rolls. Well, did you know our name is written in the roll of God? It's on the register over there in eternal heaven. He wrote our names in his book before the foundation of the world. Now, we could go to several places this morning to prove that point. But our name is written in heaven. Therefore, our life is not here. We're just traveling through this old sinful world. And Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have heartaches. But you know, the song we sang, underneath all the promises of God is the everlasting arms. And so now he goes on, he says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Timothy wasn't Paul's natural son. He was his son in the faith. And both of these young preachers that we have here, they have called me their father before, especially Brother Mark. He's my son. And Randy's my son. When you can feel the tender love between our children, and especially when you're not with them. And this is what, now, Timothy was not with Paul. Paul, when he wrote this is probably the last letter that he may have written. But Paul was in a Roman prison. And he had various ones that would come and visit him and tell them about Timothy and all the churches. He says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Night and day. Now notice, greatly desiring to see thee. being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. You know, when we see, we can handle a lot of things, but when we see our children hurting, when we see, and this young man was like a natural son, but he was more than that to Timothy. But when we see our children hurting, when we see our children in pain and in suffering, it gives us tears. Now he says, I want you to understand, Timothy, that I'm mindful of your problems. I pray for you every day and every night. You know, I honestly do. I pray for our ministry. I pray for our deacons. I pray, sometimes I just kind of go down. I can remember in my mind where all y'all are sitting, and I just go down the line and I say, bless Brother Jim and bless Sister Martha and et cetera, et cetera, all the way down the line. You know what that does? It connects us with each other in our minds and in our hearts. Now notice, he says, I have greatly desiring to see thee. I want to see you. You know, if I could just have one more hour or two with Brother Bill McCarthy, that would be so precious. He was my dad. And you know, I've said this before about Randy and I. When Bill passed away, I didn't think I could even get through life. He and I were so close. But God, in his wonderful mercy and love, he gave me Randy. I was the young kid. You know, back when I was ordained, way back there, Brother McCarthy and I would... He said I was like a little puppy dog. He'd come along, he'd just get a hold of me, and he said I'd kick him off, and here was back again, asking questions and pounding his mind with questions. But we grew so close as a father and a son. And Randy and Mark, I feel like that with them. You know, I used to be the young kid. Now I'm the old man. Randy's the young kid. It's a reverse role. It's really strange, Lavina, how that God has taken care of us through this in this church. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. You know the word unfeigned, that means unfailing. It means it's genuine. It's not phony. You know, there is a feigned faith means that it's just something, a faith that is feigned or it's fake. It's just a faith, you know, that we have what we call Sunday morning Christians. They think they can come to church on Sunday morning and then just go do whatever they want and act like the world the rest of the week. It don't work too well that way. You know, you need to stay prayed up all week. That way when you get to church, you're ready to go. But he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. There is a special love in a grandmother's heart for a grandchild. Now, Timothy's mother was a Jew, but his father was a Greek. So if Paul was not going to get a whole lot of teaching from his Greek father. Maybe some mythology or whatever about their gods, their Greek gods. But Timothy was brought up under the tutorage and the gentle instruction of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And he said, I remember. And Brother Randy and I were here with that, and Brother Dale. Brother Dale and I went out to eat after we had visited Carlene, and we just sat there and remembered. You know, I can still see Sarah Russell, all these various ones that's sitting here and here and here. And I remember their unfailing faith. This is what Paul is looking back. He said, Timothy, I knew your mother. I knew your grandmother. And I know how much they loved the Lord. And I know how much they appreciated being able to teach you. Now notice it says, this faith that was in your grandmother. And he said, I am persuaded that it's in you also. Now, there was a lot of trouble, a lot of persecution going on in the churches during those days. So much so that Caesar put out a decree and run all the Christians out of Jerusalem. They all left because of persecution. And here is this young preacher that had Paul as his father, and now his father is in jail. And they're after him. And I just kind of feel like that this letter that Paul is writing to Timothy here is a letter of encouragement. A letter to say, Timothy, keep on keeping on. Keep on going, because I know that there's a lot of trouble out there and there's a lot of people that don't like what you're preaching, but you just keep on going. Don't give up. You know, I remember the Boy Scout. When the going gets tough, the tough get going, or the tough get stronger. That's what Paul is telling Timothy, when the going is getting tough, keep on keeping on. Because I know that in you is the faith of God that was in your mother and your grandmother. Do you think this might be an encouragement to you if somebody wrote you a letter like this? Especially if you've been having some bad times. What does a phone call or a text? You know, it's probably only been about maybe 7-8 years ago that I didn't think I ever needed a cell phone. I don't need one of them things. But you know what? I carried around, my wife says, you ought to just get one of them implanted in your ear. We have technology today that you can text people and just, I do that to Linda. How you doing today? I hadn't heard from you. Are you doing okay? Just a word of encouragement and say prayer for one another. We are a family. We need to recognize this and treat each other with kindness and love. And when one of us says something ugly to one another, you know, brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters, we used to fight all the time. My mother say, you kids going to fight, get out in the yard. Wayne, you smiling. You know what I'm talking about. But you know, when it come down to family, we may fuss and fight among each other, but when it came down to family, we stuck together. And that's what we need to understand. Paul's talking to his son. Now notice, he says, wherefore I want you to remember this. You know, sometimes, and that's what I told Brother Jeff while ago, I had to go back and ask his name, because I can't remember names. I don't even know who I am half the time. But our forgetter works really good. A lot better than our rememberer. And why do we need to be reminded of all this stuff? Because sometimes the troubles and trials cover over our real heart. And we need to be encouraged by each other. Now notice, he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Timothy, I want you to look back and remember your ordination. I want you to remember the things that was told you and the things that you said and all the encouragement that you received back when you was ordained. Now, sometimes I get a little disturbed and a little bit out of sort with various ones, and especially those that are up in Washington, D.C. I just get so perturbed. But you know what? We need to recognize that God's in charge of that. We need to pray for our leaders. Pray that God will give, and I appreciate Brother Bill's prayer. We need to pray that God will give us godly men and women to rule over us, to give us encouragement. But he said that we may be returned, or that we may return to the principles upon which we were founded as a nation. Did you ever read the preamble of? Of course you have. We have unalienable rights, it says. But notice it says, but God hath not. Now, I want you to see that Paul is talking to a young preacher that's rather discouraged. He's in fear. I mean, I don't really think we can relate to how terrible some of the Christians and the preachers and the disciples of Christ were treated back in them days. And during this particular time was when Nero was the king. You know what Nero did? I mean, they set Rome on fire, and then they blamed the Christians. But it was a great sport to get somebody that believed in Jesus Christ and put them on a pole and set them on fire to light his city. You think that's bad, but that's what happened. He lit his city with burning Christians. Now that sounds a little bad. But for sport, they wrapped them up in lambskin, throwed them in the arena. Just for sport. They crucified our Lord Jesus Christ because of what he was teaching. But I want you to think about Timothy now. Is it worth it? You ever stop and say, is this really worth it? You know, I don't need this stuff. I just go in. Sometimes we as God's people out here, we decide that we just want, it's just not worth it all. But you know, the apostle, there was times when Jesus was preaching the gospel, and he preached some things that was very hard for them to hear. And he looked at his disciples, and it says, many of his disciples went and walked no more with him. You know what he was teaching, Brother Tom? He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now you start preaching that gospel to a bunch of Jews that are accustomed to holding up and keeping the law and all this stuff. You can't do this and you can't do that and you can't go this and you can't, all these things. He said, the flesh doesn't profit anything. It is nothing. Circumcision is nothing. It's nothing. Zero. You know what Jesus asked him? He turned to his apostles, his 12. He said, will you go away also? Are you going to turn away and walk with me no more either? And Peter, being the spokesman there, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now I want you to think about this. Where else are you going to go? What have you got? What have you got that's worth a dime that didn't come from God? This is what Timothy's scared. He's afraid. Notice what he says. God did not give you the spirit of fear. Verse 7. Timothy, God didn't give you that. You didn't, that terror that you're feeling, that fear that you're feeling, God didn't give that to you. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. But you know what God did give you? He gave you the power, he gave you a power of love and a sound mind. He gave you power. You know what that word power? That's an awesome word, by the way, if you just think about it. The word power is from the Greek word dunamis, which means dynamite. it is potential energy. I want you to think about this for a minute. And I've said this before, but you can have a piece of dynamite here, and it's potential energy. It's potential. I can hold it in my hand. It's potential. But when you light that fuse, it becomes kinetic. Now, you have power. You are a bundle of potentiality. You have power in you. And it's the power of God living in your very soul. You have the same power that God gave Timothy. And he says, Timothy, you need to light the fuse. You know, when you light this fuse that God has inside of us, it becomes kinetic. And it's an explosion that can just keep on going out. It spreads all around. And we need to be kinetic today. We need to be up and about and doing the things that God has given us instruction that we know that we ought to be doing. But to fear has torment. You know, fear will cause you to do things that you ordinarily wouldn't do. There's two forces in this world that motivate people: love and fear. You can do things out of love that you didn't think you could do either. But God said, hey, God didn't give you that spirit of fear. So just trust in God. You know, I had a scripture, and Brother Don Wynn made me a plaque about it when I was pastor at Tuttle. It was Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 and 7. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. You know, that's the problem we say, well, I don't need that. You know, I don't want to bother the Lord with my little problem. I'm telling you one thing, dear brothers and sisters, if you have a problem, it's not too big for God, or too little for God. God doesn't ever have a problem that's too little or too big. And if it's bothering you, take it to Him. What do we sing that song? Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did you pray for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another? Now notice, after he said that, God didn't give you that spirit of fear. But be not thou for ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Do not be ashamed, Timothy, to go out here, and if they're going to throw you in jail, you got some good company. You know, I heard this one day. It said, if they was throwing Christians in jail like they did back then and trying them, do you think there would be enough evidence against me to convict me? If they was throwing Christians in jail, would there be enough evidence to convict you? This is what Paul is. Timothy, quit. Don't be ashamed of the testimony. The testimony, and he says this in Romans chapter 1. He said, I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Do we live by faith? The apostle said, when we think about living by faith, what is that? Excludes living by sight, doesn't it? We walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. Faith is that element of God that's implanted in your soul that you receive when you're born to the Spirit of God. And every child of God has the ability and the capacity to believe this message. If I heard one brother say this one time. He said, well, they won't listen to you. They won't listen to you. Well, then that's a cop out. The gospel never hurt anybody. And it certainly wouldn't hurt somebody that doesn't love God. They may, you know, the gospel has effects upon people. It'll either make you glad or it'll make you mad. One or the other. And if they get mad at you because you tell them about Jesus, then just, you know what Jesus said about that? He said, if you go into this house and they don't receive you, just and you tell them the word of God and you give them you don't need to get really theological. Just tell them what God's done for you. How much has he blessed you? You can tell people that. If they don't receive you, just dust your feet off. Go somewhere else. But don't be ashamed of the gospel. I want to ask you, why do you think Paul said, Timothy, don't be ashamed if he wasn't ashamed? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Don't you be ashamed of tell people about me. Don't be ashamed of me as the prisoner of the Lord. But Timothy, be a partaker of the afflictions of the God. You don't think there's any afflictions in the gospel? Be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the dunamis of God, according to the power that's within you. Plug in to the power, brothers and sisters, and let this power that's within you, this potential energy that you have in your soul, plug it into the light switch and make it electrical. That's what Paul said. Now, I want you to, these next few verses are so fundamental and so, I don't know an old Baptist preacher alive that couldn't quote 2 Timothy 1 and 9. But how many of them could tell you what the context of this is? Why is Paul telling him this? Because he had already said all that other stuff up there. Timothy, he said, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who hath saved us. The word who there is God. God, the one that you love, the one that you preach about, God has saved us. Paul's including himself there. God who has saved us. And called us. God saved us? You know, you were saved. I want you to think about it. The word saved is a word that messes people up sometimes. The word saved doesn't always mean the same thing. But here it means saved from your sins. Jesus saved your soul, brothers and sisters, 2,000 years ago. You were saved when Jesus came out of the grave. Every single one of God's children, whether they're an Old Testament saint or a New Testament saint, was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood in your place for your sins on the cross. And when they put him in the grave, and when he came out on the third day, he came out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And that's what I want you to see. You need to see what you've been saved to. And what you've been saved from. You know, he says, the apostle says over there to the Thessalonians, he said, here I go again, Lavina. He said, he hath delivered us. I want you to say the word delivered means saved. He hath delivered us from the wrath to come. There's a wrath coming. And this world one day and it says that when this comes, every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord. Every tongue. And every knee is going to bow to our Lord Jesus Christ. They may not bow to him now, but they will then. But he says, God has delivered you from the wrath to come. It's coming. But you don't need to be afraid. Because you're blood bought and heaven bound. God who has saved us and called us. And not only did he save us, but he called us. He quickened us. He brought us forth from death and sin to a life in our Lord Jesus Christ. When we're walking in this, where you go over and read about those that don't love God, he says their throat is an open sepulcher. The fear of God is not before their eyes. Their feet are swift to shed blood. The fear of God is not in their eyes. All of these things. But when God, and the Apostle Paul said this about him, his own self. He said, I did those things in ignorance and unbelief. God, who has saved us. Did you notice that word, hath saved? That's past tense. You don't never need to be saved in this sense anymore. Ever. You're already saved. He hath saved us. Put that in your book. It's past tense. You know, the Apostle Paul over in another place, he says that there is a salvation that's past, and that's this one. There's a salvation that's now, and there's a salvation to come. Jesus is coming back, brothers and sisters. He's coming back, and we're all going to be with him one sweet day, body, soul, and spirit. But we're not there yet. And that's why he says, God who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now, how hard is this to understand? Not according to your works. Is that hard? I mean, he says the same thing in Titus. He says, by his mercy he has saved us and called us not according to our works. By grace you're saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works. It's not by what you did, and it's not by what you didn't do. You understand that? Well, I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. God did it all. He paid all. And you're saved. Do you believe that? Let me ask you this. And I had this question, this conversation with a young lady years ago. And she was saying, I just don't believe that I can be the kind of person that they say I must be. And I just got Romans 8 and read it to her. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There is no way that somebody who is a child of God, if you're a child of God today, you're a child of God tomorrow, today and forever. You're never going to be not a child of God. What can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? The Apostle Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor principality nor things past nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But there's a lot of folks that just don't understand how that it can be. Surely there's something I can do. There's something I have got to do in order to make this right. No. All of your righteousnesses are filthy rags. Not according to our works. Okay, I got it, Alan. Well, what's according to then? If it's not according to your works, then what is it? The word according to means in harmony with. So this salvation is not in harmony with our works, but it is in harmony, it is in accordance with His own purpose and grace, which was given us when we decided, no. This is not given to us when we decide to do anything. I decided to follow Jesus. Well, I decided to follow Him too several years ago. But if you believe, He said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that every one of us here would say, hold your hand. Do you believe that Jesus is Christ, Son of God? Yes. Okay. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not will be born of God. And it's not, your believing is not the cause of your salvation, but it is the evidence that you have it. You know, people don't understand cause and effect. But it says here that this salvation and this calling is according to God's own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That means, brothers and sisters, before Genesis 1:1. before Genesis 1:1, for whom he did foreknow. Oh, I love this. Been waiting on this one, hadn't you, Devin? For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. And whom he predestinated, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. All of those in past tense verbs. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His grace has chosen us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. These scriptures are all over the Bible. But why is this in here? Why is this verse in the middle of this chapter? Because Paul wants Timothy to remember this. And you need, we always, no matter what happens in our life, no matter how bad it gets, how bad, it may get a lot worse than it is right now. It may, before Jesus comes. He says, evil men shall wax worse and worse. But you can get through it all, Lavina, if you'll just remember this, that God saved you and He called you with a holy calling. And it's not according to what you do or what you don't do. It's according to His mercy and grace. Now that's good, isn't it? Isn't that good? Isn't that good stuff? But notice he says, but it's not according to your works. It was because Jesus saved us by His blood, and He calls us by His Spirit, and He gives us eternal life in our soul. But it's now, right now, at this very moment, it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice this. Who hath abolished death. You know, are you afraid to die? I mean, it says that the children being partakers of flesh and blood, he made part of the same, that through death, he might destroy them that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who all their lifetime were subject to bondage. You have been delivered not only from eternal wrath, not only from eternal death, but you have been delivered from corporal death. Every time we look at the scriptures, and it says that they which are asleep, when we put one of God's children in the grave, your soul, the soul and spirit of that one, to be absent from God is to be present with God immediately. When one of God's children dies, immediately they go to heaven, and you put their bodies in the grave, but those bodies are temporary. That's a temporary, you say, well, this is the last place we're going. No, it's not. This is not your final place, because God is coming back, and He said, all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and they shall come forth. I mean, if you don't believe, and this is what Randy and I talked about just yesterday, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you're a miserable person. If in this life only you have hope in Christ, you're of all men most miserable. But if you, when you get into your mully grubs and you get down in the dumps and you begin to have fear about all this, I'm afraid of this, and people get so anxious about things. Brother Randy here a while back preached a sermon on don't be anxious. Don't be hyped up about stuff that's going on in this world, because just remember God's in charge of it. It's made, this gospel, this message, belongs to you. It's made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. The gospel doesn't give anybody life. The gospel will not. Preaching the God, wouldn't it be wonderful, you know, if people say, well, I you can just preach to them for long. There's a little spark down inside of them, and if you just keep preaching, that little spark will come up and it'll become alive, and before long they'll be saved. That, dear sister, that's being taught right up the street, right up here. The gospel is God's ordained means of saving His people. There's nobody going to be saved unless you hear and believe the gospel. But brothers and sisters, the gospel doesn't save you eternally. It saves you here. It'll save you from all kinds of things, but it won't give you life. How much plainer do we need to get this? But it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. It doesn't bring life. It brings light. You know, we could turn the lights off when it gets really dark in here. And we could. How many of you ever been to Carlsbad Cabin? Dark in there, isn't it? You know, they did this when Judy and I went down in there. Turn the lights all off. You know how dark is? We don't know what dark is until you get to it. There is absolutely no light. Total. You could hold your hand up just like this and you couldn't see your hand in your face. Turning them lights back on didn't make anything real in there. It was there all the time. But you can't see it. The gospel is the flashlight. The gospel is the light that shines in our darkness. And that's what he said, that it has brought life and immortality to light. Paul is preaching to this young preacher who has been discouraged. And he's afraid of all these things that's going on around him. And this is just as timely to us today as it was then. When you start feeling this, just get your book out, brothers and sisters, and read. God saved you. He's already saved you, and he's in charge of every aspect of your life. Did you know you can't do anything? You can't even, when you think about Sister Carlene laying over there with that ventilator in her. That woman has Jesus in her heart. That ventilator ain't stopping one thing from Carlene's soul. And one day, and I talked to Linda about Linda Smith, Carlene's daughter. And I said, Linda, Carlene wouldn't want to live like that. I said, she's going to be free. She's not going to have cancer. She's not going to have any trouble breathing anymore. She's going to be with the Lord and she's going to be totally happy. So would you want her? No, I don't want her, Brother Allen, to linger on like that. I said, well, let's just pray God's will be done then. Huh? Isn't that the best? I know Dale, she can get better. I'm not saying she can't. I know like I'm looking one right here. Miracle of God. God's able to do things. But when somebody gets so sick and so just totally in. Not one, she's been in and out of the hospital for the last 2 years and not have been able to even come to church. It's time for that sweet soul to be free. I'm going to pray the Lord's will be done. Not she get well, I pray God's will be done. She's going to be healed. She'll either be healed here or there. But she's not going to have cancer. It can only do problems to her body now. These points that I've been trying to make this morning are so personal. They're so what we need. And notice, there's a colon after the word gospel if you got your Bible there. God is not, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wherefore I am appointed a preacher. I have been appointed a preacher. I'm not a very good one, perhaps, but I am what I am. And I have a responsibility to preach the gospel for whatever I do to you. That's what Jesus said. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. Wherefore I appoint a preacher. I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For thee which cause also, for this cause, for preaching the gospel, Timothy. For this cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm over here in this prison. And I'm put in here because of the very things that you're supposed to be preaching. Don't be ashamed of me because of my change, Timothy. Because the things that's happened to me have fallen out to the glory of God. He said, don't be ashamed. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And this is it. We're saying that I know whom I have believed. Do you know who you have believed? I know whom I have believed. This is where this song comes from. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Are you persuaded this morning? He said, I know who I am, and I am persuaded that he is able. You know that word able means he has power. He has the power to do all things above and beyond what you imagine or think. Now, I want you to think about that word able. That he is able, listening, that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day. Today. Therefore, Timothy, in church, hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which is committed unto thee, that good thing which is committed unto you, keep by the Holy Ghost which is dwelling in you. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit's living in you? That our body, he says, Apostle Paul says, our body is a temple of God. Our body, it doesn't, you know, so if people say, well, I can do what I want to. No, you can't. If you have a body here, your body is bought and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you don't belong to yourself. You say, and the apostle, that's what he said. You are not your own. You're bought with price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and your soul and your body, which belongs to him. They belong to him. You're purchased. You've been redeemed. Hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which is committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in this. This thou knowest. Timothy, you know this. And you know it. You know this. That all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phlegias and Hermogenes. I can't pronounce those words. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesimus, for he hath refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. You ever visit anybody in jail? Paul's in jail. And he says, Onesimus, I'm not saying that word right, Onesiphorus, he's dead. Don't worry about him. If I say him wrong. He hath often refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. Thou knowest, Timothy, very well. That's the first chapter. The whole chapter of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. I hope it's been a blessing to you this morning. I hope you will continue on and read the rest of the letter. The second letter is to discourage Christian named Timothy. But I believe if he read this thing in the right way in the Spirit of God, I believe he'd be encouraged when he got through, wouldn't he? Are you encouraged that you have a Savior that died on the cross and gave you eternal life?